If you have your Bibles, would you open them, please, to the book of Matthew in the New Testament, Matthew chapter number 3, Matthew chapter 3. Cassidy, y'all have anybody getting baptized off y'all's bus today? Okay, good. Let me see Brother Berto's route. Anybody know? Anybody getting baptized from Fairfield today? Okay, just curious. Okay, Teresa, where are you? Anybody getting baptized from your... Okay, so that's the two you're talking about or different? Okay, good, good. Good. And they got saved on Carnival Sunday, right? That's great. Okay, some Honda keys, car keys. Anybody? They picked them out of your pocket. Someone grabbed them. Are these from last week or something? Someone's walking all week long. Anybody? Folks, it's worth just grabbing it, going through the parking lot, seeing what car you just won. Anybody? All right. Good. I'll get them to you. I'll get them to you right here. Thanks. Okay, Matthew chapter number three, and once a year we talk a little bit about baptism, the teaching of it. So please don't turn me off and say, Pastor, I've already been baptized. But we have some things I think is going to be a blessing and an encouragement to you as we talk some about this subject. But if you would, let's look down, please, in Matthew chapter 3. Looking down in verse 1, this is the chapter where Jesus gets baptized. But look at these truths. In those days came John the Methodist. No, excuse me. The Presbyterian. Wait, hang on. John the non-denominational. Nope. It says John the Baptist. And what's interesting about this passage, this is God calling him this. It's not saying he baptized a lot of people and the people nicknamed him. No, this is what God called him, the Baptist. It's a description. His middle name is not the, his last name is not Baptist, but it's a description of who he is, John the Baptist. Someone said, why are we a Baptist church? Well, there was one person that baptized Jesus, and that was his name. Look at that. Just a thought, maybe something you could think of. In those days came John the Baptist. What was he doing? Preaching. A Baptist church is always known by the emphasis on preaching. Many churches, it's entertainment, or maybe it's food, or maybe it's the ornate sculpture of the church, or the $500,000 pipe organ and the stained glass windows. But historically, Bible-believing churches have always had the emphasis on preaching the Word of God. You come to church to know this book better. And so, notice what he says. Notice his message. Not real popular. It wouldn't be popular today. Verse 2, saying, repent. Repent simply means turn around. You're heading in the wrong direction. One soldier said, becoming a Christian is this. Halt, about face, forward, march. Well, there's got to be a repent. So it means the average person thinks their good works are saving them. You ask the average person, are you going to heaven? Yeah, I'm good. I'm baptized. I'm this religion. I do this. So they're counting on their good works to earn them heaven. So repentance is you're stopping your trust in good works to take you to heaven. You're turning around, repenting, sorry for your sins, and now you're trusting Jesus alone as your Savior. So it happens instantaneous. So if you got saved years ago, you accepted Christ, got born into God's family, repented all at the same time. It was just like that. And so he said, repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. And they asked him who he was. He said, I'm just the voice preparing the way in the wilderness, verse 4. The same John, he had simple tastes, had his raiment of camel's hair, a leather girdle or leather belt, big wide leather belt, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now that's the picture of an old-time preacher there. He's got a camel skin suit. He's got a leather belt. He's got a grasshopper sticking out of his mouth while he's foaming at the mouth saying, repent! And I guess the little kids looked up and said, that's my preacher, John the Baptist. He was a wild man. But notice how hard he preached. Verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem So the whole city, we think 75,000 people at the time of Jesus, and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him. Notice what they did also in Jordan, in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Well, wouldn't that be a new one? So it didn't say they confessed their sins to the Lord. It seems like when they came to get baptized, John said, "What are you sorry for?" And they confessed publicly. Now, isn't that, he put them on the hot seat. You say, well, where you get that? Verse 7, he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism. He said, "O generation of snakes or vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Skip down to verse 13. He is preaching hot and heavy, and they still accepted Christ, and they were baptized by the thousands and thousands. So now Jesus shows up at the baptism. Verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan. That's a 60-mile journey. So it wasn't just a simple thing. Jesus traveled 60 miles to get baptized. It says, and John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, suffer, that word means allow, it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the only time in Scripture in the New Testament we see the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all present at the same time. Jesus is in the water getting baptized. The Holy Spirit takes the form of a dove, flies out of the air, lands on Jesus, and then God the Father is speaking, this is my beloved Son. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all at the same place. Amen. Only one time, and it was at the baptism of Jesus Christ. Did he have to get baptized? No. It was a foreshadow of what was about to happen. When he stood in the water, it was a shadow or a symbol of, I'm going to die on a cross. When he went under the water, it was a symbol, I'm going to be buried. I'll be buried in a tomb. And then when he came up out of the water, it was a symbol, I'm going to rise again. So it was a symbol even before it ever happened. Amen. My second Sunday here, we baptized our first person 37 years ago. And then we've baptized thousands and thousands of people since then. Teresa, we have changed the water in between. It's same place, but it's not the same water. All right. Just want you to know, because you may never see your kids again. And I still remember just some of the crazy stories. One little boy got in the water to get baptized, and we didn't tell him what how it was going to happen. So he got in the water and he just dunked himself under. He said, I'm done. Now you see him, now you don't. Okay, get out. And so he baptized himself. Tallest fella, and I think I told you this recently, was 6'9". We had a man at the wedding, 6'8". And I asked him, I said, I wasn't going to embarrass him. I didn't walk up and say, all right, how tall are you? Because everyone asked him. So I walked up to him, Ben, and I said, everyone's always wondering how tall I am. And I looked up, I said, I'm 5'4". And I knew he'd tell me, so I'm 6'8". So anyway, I got it out of him. But 6'9" was the tallest guy. And here's how we did it. We said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection to walk in newness of life. Biggest guy we've ever baptized, weighed 550. When it was time for him to get baptized, I let him know in advance. I said, look, we're not making a special robe. I'm sorry. We just don't have one that's going to fit you. I said, man, just bring a change of clothes. It'll be fine. Okay. And so he starts to get down that water. water's about here. And it set a new high water mark. I mean, he's got the record. And I'm just thinking, am I going to be able to get him down? Am I going to be able to get him up? One guy looked at me and said, you going to be able to get me up? I said, I don't have to. All I have to do is get you under. You'll get up. They always do. I don't know how many times people have had hairdos that seem to soak in the water, whether it's a fro or the dreadlocks or just a lot of hair. And it seems like for some reason, when they go under and come up, they have to kind of do this, like, you know, a dog on TV or something. And it always gets all over me. I still remember one lady, and she had on her share of makeup, probably a month's worth on. And so when she went underwater, it kind of came off. So it was like an oil slick. It looked like Valdez in Alaska or something like that. It was kind of interesting. One week we had a guy, and he told me, he said, Pastor, I'd like to get baptized. I don't want to wait till Sunday. He said, can I just meet you at the church? I said, yeah, we can do that. And he said, what I need? I said, we got everything you need. We got robes, towels, everything's here. Just come. And so I showed him where to get dressed or change. And it was just him and I. And so I'm in the water kind of waiting. I said, you ready? Come on. And so he came out of the dressing room. He had put on his bathing suit. That was it. No shirt, no sock, just a bathing suit. It's every pastor's dream, being alone in a church baptistry with some man in a bathing suit. And so he got baptized. We had a guy one time, and he got saved. He accepted the Lord, and that Sunday night, he wanted to make it public, so we were going to announce to everyone that he got saved. And so, you know, like I always do, I always encourage, you know, the next step is to be baptized. You don't have to. It doesn't save you. But he said, no, I don't think so. And he was kind of a bodybuilder guy, kind of buff, looked like myself. And so he's sitting on the front row, and I usually don't say this. I said, you're afraid of water or something? I mean, you shower. What's the big deal? He goes, okay, I'll do it. And he just kind of had an attitude. I'm thinking, man, what's the big deal? I mean, you're going to get baptized. Well, he gets changed. I'm in the water, and he starts coming down the stairs. And then I knew why he didn't want to get baptized. He had red toenail polish all over his toes. Mr. Bodybuilder. And I look at his toenails, and he looks at me. He goes, that's why I didn't want to get baptized. He said, I fell asleep on the couch this afternoon. My wife thought it was real funny to paint my toenails red, and I didn't know I was going to get baptized tonight. And then he said, you're not going to tell anybody, are you? I said, nope, I'm going to tell everybody. It's an exciting, exciting time. So what is baptism? Why is it important? Several reasons here. Number one, it's commanded. Jesus' Great Commission includes it. He says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Notice, preach the gospels first, baptizing them as second, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Third, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So the Great Commission, three parts: tell people how to get saved if they get saved, baptize them after they're baptized, teach them everything possible in this book. So that's the order. The world gets it different. Get baptized, years later get saved. No, the Bible says you get saved, baptism is always after. Number two, it identifies you with Jesus Christ. During the Bueno wedding on Friday, they exchanged rings. It's not a part of California law. You do not have to wear a wedding ring if you're married, but they wanted to do that. Why? Because they wanted people to know I'm married. People who weren't at the ceremony would look in the public and say, oh, that guy's married. Oh, she's married. So baptism is, maybe you weren't there when I accepted Christ, but when I get baptized, I'm showing everyone I did accept Christ into my heart. You may not know where they were and when it was, but publicly they're saying, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Number three, it's always after we get saved. And you say, Pastor, this is so elementary. Well, I've got something for you deeper lifers in a minute too, so hang on. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, Simon Peter preached, 3,000 people got saved. And it says, and the same day, they that gladly received the Lord were baptized, same day. So in the Bible, it was such a big thing. When people accepted Christ, they got baptized right then. Now, we don't do that. We don't go down to the Napa River, baptize people, because you may hit your head on a submerged tire or a broken beer bottle or maybe a shopping cart or maybe some poison that someone's poured in the river or dead fish floating downstream. That's why we do it here. It's a little bit more sanitary. The water's heated and it makes it easy for a crowd of people to see we're already at church. So they that were glad, they got baptized. In Acts chapter number 8, it was Philip. He's out in the desert. He preaches to the Secretary of State under the Queen Candace. And this Ethiopian man accepts Christ in the chariot. And he says, can I be baptized? And Philip said, here's water right here in the desert. Here's some water. And he was baptized immediately in the desert. Then I think of the Apostle Paul. He saw that light at noontime. He got off of his horse. He got saved. And so next thing we know, he gets baptized. Ananias baptized Saul of Tarsus. Saul is in prison and the jailer gets saved. So the Bible says, he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. The jailer got saved. His wife got saved. All the kids got saved. And the Bible says, and at midnight, they went down to the river. They got baptized at midnight. That jailer said, we're not waiting till Sunday. We just got saved. We're doing it now. So it was always after they got saved. And it was immediate. The Bible talks about Crispus in Acts 18:8 getting saved. Lydia, a woman that sold expensive clothing. She sold Monet on Monday, Coach purses on Tuesday, Louis Vuitton apparel on Wednesday. But she sold purple raiment, which was expensive. And it goes on and on and on talking about these people. You say, Pastor, what does baptism do? It's an example to others. I am following the Lord in believer's baptism. I got saved. I want you to know it's a command. I'm going to do it. Number next, it's the first step of growth in a Christian's life. Now, I've not played pro baseball in years. It's been over 66 years. I've never played pro. But one thing I know about baseball, you can't just run to any base you like. If you hit the ball, you got one option. You got to go to first base. So when we get saved, we made the team. If we're ever going to do anything great for God, we got to tag all the bases. First base is always baptism. You'll never grow, you'll never know, you'll never reach others for Christ to the degree you could till you're baptized. It's just that. You say, well, I don't like that command. You can't skip any of the commands. First base is always baptism. I want to say this too. It does not save us, but it does give us a clear conscience. The Bible says in 1 Peter, it does not put away the filth of the flesh, but a clear or clean conscience to the Lord. Why a good conscience? Because it's a command. If I don't do it, then I've got a bad conscience. Now here's the question most people ask, and you'll hear them. So does baptism save? Do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? One of our good men, his son was passing away. He had a disease, and it had been coming for a long, long time. This was over 30 years ago. His son had accepted Christ here. So years had passed. He's dying. And a man of the cloth rushed to the room, poured some water on him and said, "Whew, we saved him." The dad was so upset that someone would claim pouring a little water on his son got him to heaven. Here's the answer. Baptism does not save anybody. According to Scripture, it's a work. It's something that we do. It is not necessary to be saved. It is not. There was a man by the name of Constantine. He started a church many years ago in 330 AD. It's called the Universal Church. It's the mother church. Many churches have come out of that church. But Constantine falsely believed that baptism saved. He was not a believer. He was not a Christian. But as the ruler of the nation, he looked and saw Christians getting baptized. He thought, well, the water washes your sins away, so the sooner the better. So in about the year 400, they made an edict or a law that every child must be baptized. If you do not baptize your child, you can lose your property, lose your job, be beaten publicly, and years later, even death. Because they believe if you're not going to baptize your child, if they die, they go to hell. That is not in the Scriptures. That is a heresy. It's false teaching. No baby goes to hell because they didn't get water dumped on them. That's nowhere found in the Bible. You'll never find infant baptism. You'll never find baby baptism. It's never mentioned in Scripture. So there's a religion called Mormonism. I said, Pastor, you shouldn't call religions names out. I'm not. I'm just reminding Brother Bob of what church he used to go to. And so they actually baptize by proxy. And here's what that means. There's a little verse in Scripture says, and now are ye baptized. Why do you baptize for the dead? What he's talking about is a lot of Christians were thrown to the lions. They were killed, burned at the stake. So anyone that got baptized was just really taking the place of someone who had been killed. Baptized to take that other guy's spot because they had lost so many. And so in the Mormon church, you can get a list of all your relatives. Okay, Fred Smith, John Smith. And you can get baptized and get your relatives in heaven by getting dunked underwater after they read their name. That is not in the Bible anywhere. Salvation is always an individual decision. It is you accepting Christ. No one can do that for you. No one can get baptized for you. No one can get saved for you. Just a little teaching here. He said, Pastor, how do you know this is true? Well, it was so much persecution in Europe. That's why they fled to America. You remember? Freedom of religion. And then when they came to America, check it out. The same people that were persecuting the Europeans came to America. Now they started persecuting these pilgrims and these Puritans that moved here because they wouldn't baptize their babies. And let me just encourage you moms and dads that are just having children. Your baby is safe. They are safe. When they get old enough to accept Christ, which is age 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever it is for them, you just want to pray they accept Christ the first day. And that's what you want. The water up here, which has baptized thousands of people, it never forgave one sin. It never washed anybody's sins away. All it did was show publicly, I got saved. And I want to follow the Lord. Now, what's it mean personally for us, just quickly here? Personally, it means this. When you stood or stand in that water, two things. I believe Jesus died, was buried, rose again for me. Second, it means this. My past is dead. It is now buried. I've got a brand new life. Now, let me just tell some of you this. Stop digging it up. If your past is buried in Christ, stop digging it up. Married couples, stop bringing it up. If it's buried, leave it there. When someone gets buried, they stay till the resurrection day. Stop digging that old flesh up. You say, well, Pastor, what good does it do me? If you don't have to get baptized, why should you do it? Well, in Jesus' story, we know this. When he got baptized, he stood in the water. That dove landed on him. Here you go. When you follow the Lord in baptism, you feel something others don't feel. Jesus was the only one in that water that felt something. How come? He was obeying the Lord. There's something about obeying the Lord. You feel something others don't feel. Then he saw that dove fly. He saw something others didn't see. Those that didn't come to get baptized, they didn't see that. You know, and that's why when you come to church and you serve the Lord and you follow him, you're going to feel a little bit different than someone that didn't come to church. And you're going to see some things that others didn't see. And you're going to hear some things that others didn't hear. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I heard something today at church. Others didn't hear. Why? You were obedient. You were where you ought to be.
Amen.
You say, well, Pastor, how do you know you don't have to be baptized to be saved? Well, there was a thief nailed on the cross next to Jesus. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus looked over and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. They didn't pull the cross up and baptize the guy in the river. He died without ever being baptized. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me. Water baptism, don't have to do it. But if you're going to be blessed and grow as a Christian, you got to do it. I was on a plane. I was talking to a Church of Christ. We used to call them Camelites. And they believe in something called baptismal generation. And here's what that means. They believe it's Jesus. You have to accept Jesus, what he did on the cross, plus be baptized. If you're not baptized, you go to hell. That's what they teach. So I asked him, I said, okay, I'm on the plane. You're sitting next to me. You lead me to the Lord. I get saved. And I mean it. I got saved. Now the plane loses an engine, loses another engine. We're going down. I'm not baptized. What are we going to do? Here's what he said. I'd spit on you. You would do what? So now there's three ways to heaven. Get saved and baptized. Or get saved, nailed to a tree next to Jesus because you can't get baptized. Or get saved on a plane and let someone spit on you. What do you do if you're in the desert and there's no water and you get saved? You see, false teaching always has holes in it. Always has holes in it. It's just simple. The Bible said where John the Baptist baptized, there was much water. Why much? Because they didn't sprinkle. That was a convenient thing. It started in 400 AD, Catholic Church, because they said if a little infant's sick, we don't want to get them sicker. Let's just sprinkle them. If you don't have water, you can sprinkle wine on them. Maybe it started in Napa Valley. I don't know. But the word baptize, baptismo, comes from the word, it means to bury. That's why it's always all the way under. So, questions, answers, here we go. So, Pastor, what if you were baptized as a baby? Does it count? Nope, not scripturally. Now, your parents or whoever did it meant well. They were probably wanting to start you in that direction, and it wasn't sinful for you. Number two, so when should a person get saved? Baptized after they get saved. If you've never been saved, you don't know you're going to heaven, today's the day to give your heart to Christ. If you've done that, have you been baptized after you got saved? If not, that's your next step. If you're going to grow in the Christian life. Steve Guzman, Brother Steve, would you wave at us? I'll give his testimony. He was a drunk. No. I think that's, it's somebody else here. But Brother Steve said, a man in this church years ago, 45 years ago or so, led him to Christ. He came to church once or twice, but that's it. He just got saved. Never drove a bus, never taught a class, never won a soul, never did anything for God. About 10 years later said, you know, I need to get baptized. He got baptized, hit the ground running, has been in ministry ever since. that little plant didn't take off and hit water until he obeyed that command that God had been waiting on for about 10 years. Last story, and I'm finished. Here we go. So her name was Linda. Most of you have never met her, wouldn't know who she was. We had a baby dedication day. Her and her husband started coming. They had one child. And so I preached one Sunday morning. Her and her husband walked the aisle. And I said, "Can I help you guys?" And they both said this: "We've been saved. We've accepted the Lord. We both want to be baptized." I said, "Well, great." And so they were both baptized. They came back Sunday night, Wednesday night, the next Sunday. And then I preached that Sunday morning. And Linda, the wife, left her seat, came to the front. I thought she was just coming to pray, but it was like this. And she's crying. I said, "Can I help you?" She said, "I need to get saved." I said, "Well, last week you told me you had accepted the Lord. You had been saved." She said, "I never understood it till today." I said, "Isn't that great?" One of the ladies shared the scriptures with her. She accepted the Lord. She's filling out her little name on the little decision card. And I said, "Linda, guess what?" She goes, "What?" I said, "Guess what your next step is?" She said, "What?" I said, "To get baptized." She said, "I got baptized last Sunday." I said, "When did you get saved?" She said, "This morning." She said, "All right, here we go." And she walked around. She's the only woman to get baptized two Sundays in a row here. Because it's always after. Now, some of you, here's probably what happened. When you were a child, you prayed. You got baptized, and for a long, long time, you've wondered, "Did I even understand it?" Maybe years later, you got alone with the Lord, and you just said, "Lord, I don't know if I've ever been saved, but would you save me?" And that's when you really got saved later. Did you get baptized after that? It's such an important thing. Several chapters are filled with Jesus being baptized. I know for some of you, you feel like this has nothing to do with me, but it could be the first base of you doing something great for the Lord. If you've never accepted Christ, today's the day. If you've never been baptized after you've been saved, you could do it today. Won't make you a Baptist, won't make you a member, but it will make you blessed. Everything's ready if that's what you'd like to do today.